And then I don't have you on video right now.
Okay. Oh, hold on here a second. There we go. Let me do. So it's basically, okay, I'm on. All right. It basically just.
So we had a little technical difficulty there, me and Mark, and basically somehow it just kind of glitched out. So I'm gonna feed this in. We'll kind of edit this in. Maybe we'll end up doing a two-parter here, but Mark's back. I'm back. Hopefully technical difficulties are solved. So yeah, I mean, we've touched on quite a bit of stuff. I think let's talk about your book. So you, and I believe if I did my research right, and I try to, I really try to be diligent about researching ahead and knowing who my guests are a little bit. Your wife's name is Grace.
Yes.
Okay. So you and Grace had wrote this book. And if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, 2022 is when you guys wrote this.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the book.
So the book is like a, you know, like a 20,000 overview of our business models and kind of things that we had figured out. A lot of them, I would say, are probably a lot of those ideas could be universally applied to many business models. But a lot of it is very niche specific to us. Like we had, so the short story is we found out that there are very complementary business models that can be started with low overhead, very low ad expenditure, mm-hmm. very low time investment, but then have a great return.
Really
have a
great return. Yeah.
Return on it. Yes. So a high markup, as I call it. Yeah. And an example of that is the notarizations. That's the golden pen. I would like my pen's like gold, yeah. You know, like who for would sure. think stamping paperwork and people go, well, wait a minute, don't notaries only get $5 or $10? Yes, they do.
Yep.
But there are exclusions to that.
Yeah. And, as well as consulting fees. I mean, you're basically consulting exactly. people within business.
Exactly. So you have, there's such a broad spectrum of other things. Like one of the biggest things we do a lot of real estate transactions mm-hmm. and those are very voluminous amount of paperwork.
Yeah. More time consuming than just coming in and signing your name. Yeah.
Right. Right. So if you imagine that, okay, well, even if I was only getting that $10 per stamp, but I'm coming in and I'm in one stop for 30 minutes, I'm stamping 15 different things.
Yep.
Now do the math on it.
Yeah, adds up. It adds up. It
adds up quick. So that is in the same with the mobile notarization. There's a lot of people that are in positions of necessity. They're in a hospital, mm-hmm. a jail, an assisted living facility. They have no choice but to have somebody come to them. So they are paying your courier fee. Right. So that is it. Or wealthy people. We live very close to a fly-in community.
Yeah.
And those people just, that's their way of life.
I forgot to ask you. I didn't catch you. Where exactly are you at in Florida?
So we're in Port Orange, Florida.
Port Orange. Okay.
And, yep. So just south of Daytona.
Beautiful there. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It is.
There.
Yeah. And we're right outside of Spruce Creek fly-in. Is a little airport community. So mm-hmm. the people that own their own planes.
Is that the one where Travolta was living for a while?
Yes. Famous for John Travolta living there.
Yeah. For sure. We'll give John a plug real quick.
He had a MiG apparently. I think he used to fly in and out of there.
Yeah. I remember. So, you know, a little background. I mean, I grew up in Florida. I think we moved back to Florida when in like 90, 91, something like that. I grew up there. I just left there in like 2013. So me and my wife still go back and forth traveling, but I grew up in Tampa, Miami, all over Florida. I've worked in every aspect of Florida there is. But I do remember traveling. I think when we were younger, maybe high school or early college, I remember us trying to go find John Travolta's house and where they were flying in and stuff. And I remember being over there on Daytona for spring breaks and stuff. So
that's the spot. Yep. So yep. We do a lot of transactions in there and we've met people who are really big time repeat customers.
Yeah.
Yep. That we just keep going back to. So they become they almost become like a mini revenue stream.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's especially when, again, like we just talked about, when you're providing a good service, they're always going to, you know, these people are flying in on business trips. They're coming home for maybe even if they're touching down for, you know, 8 hours of their day and then flying right back out. I mean, you're available and you're offering a service where you're able to meet them where they are, provide what they need. And then they can fly back out and live their life doing what they're doing. And so when you're able to provide that for a client, they're always going to want to come back because it's not only clients look for convenience, you mm-hmm. know, and clients look for, you know, not only honesty and that profession and that reputation, but it's convenience, you know, and I used to say that even in construction, people wanting to build a 6-month project, they want that 6-month project to hit its deadline. But again, they want it to be convenient. They don't want to every 5 minutes be answering the phone with another problem for the next 6 months and then some, you know. So, you know, with your clients, you know, these people are busy, you know, they're running businesses, they have families to run, you know, so yeah, they're looking for somebody like you and your wife that can come in, get the business done for them, and they can move on.
Get on with it. Yep.
Reliable. Yeah.
For us, very little time expenditure.
Yep.
Virtually no overhead, you know.
Yeah.
The equipment that's required for all aspects of our business could all be started up and running in way under less than $1,000, probably less than $500.
You can go to Office Depot and stock up on pens and everything, paper. Yep. You get your stamp, you go through your certifications. I mean, basically at that point, your overhead is, if you want an office, you have one. If you don't, you're mobile, whatever it may be. Yeah.
Exactly. So that
super
is
cool. Super
that is
cool.
It. It's a good, that business model works with a lot of different things. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what I touch on in the book. I think one of the inspirations for writing the book was within the notary world, there is a niche of people who do real estate closings.
Yeah.
And my concern was, because if I looked at that, I'm like, that's kind of a poor business model mm-hmm. because you're dependent on the real estate economy, interest rates and stuff. So if you are just clutching to that, you could find yourself in a problem.
Yeah.
And of course, I was right. I was dead on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
So that my message was, look, expand out these other things that will yep. fit well with your business. They're not really going to cost much of anymore. It's mainly exactly. just an investment between your ears.
Yep.
And you can up your money. And if mm-hmm. those things ebb and flow, you will still have a stable stream of income.
Yeah. So. And I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, I do a lot of different things, not just the podcast show. I do a lot of different marketing and research, and I work with a lot of different people for different assignments. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for residual income. And I think a lot of people, you know, you think about school when you're in school, and, you know, we learn about all these wonderful things in school, but what we don't learn is business. What we don't learn, when I was growing up, we still had like home ec and different things like that. I mean, I'm 46 years old. I remember they offered business classes, but I mean, I remember maybe one semester where they taught us to write a check or something, pay some bills,
right.
But it's, you know, you think about it, like there's never a thing where they offer actual business experience like that. And so I think what's never taught to us is we're the focus in society is the basic. It's like, hey, you guys need to get a 9-to-5 job. By the time you graduate, you need a job. You have to work. That's all you ever really hear. You hear it from your parents, you hear it in the world.
Right.
But nobody really tells you about residual income. Like, it's okay to work a 9-to-5 and have 2 or 3 smaller businesses that are absolutely no overhead working for you.
Yes.
And I think that's where a lot of people are like, well, how do people, entrepreneurs, get where they were? Well, they hustle to the point where they learn these things. You educate yourself. But then you find, again, we talked about the niche. You find the niche that's, you know, whether it's a talent you have, whether it's just something that's an easy investment that doesn't cost you or you're going to lose everything. Something that literally gives you some kind of residual pay or royalty, you know, and they don't teach that in school. You know, your parents don't, your parents never, your dad and mom working their butt off their whole life to raise you, never told you about the residual income because maybe they were so busy they didn't have it or didn't educate or know the education of it, you know. And that's one of the things I encourage on the show. It's one of the things I hear from, like, just talking to you and others, like, it's good to have extra streams, you know, extra avenues to branch into.
It's definitely good to have those extra streams mm-hmm. of income, because then you create a stable platform. You know, it's interesting too, like when we talk about, they don't teach any of this stuff.
Yep.
One of the biggest hindrances I've had in our business, or obstacles, was that I've had to unlearn all this crap that I learned.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
I had to unlearn stuff. I had to spend so much time unlearning. And you know, like if you probably read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, mm-hmm. what a brilliant way. Yeah. He just lays it out in a way that it's like, yep, that's exactly how I was raised. I was raised by a poor dad. I love him. God bless him.
Yep.
But he was a poor dad. And you see, the rich dad looks, in the beginning, the rich dad looks stupid. It looks like, what's this guy doing? Go get a life.
Yep. But
then as you get to the end of the book, you're like, oh, okay, we see how this really panned out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you know, we do, and even in the book, I touch on some of the residuals, especially with insurances like Medicare insurance. They mm-hmm. pay, you can pay, a one-time Medicare client can pay a residual for 8 years.
Right.
On that. Not bad. They add up. It's like a magazine subscription. They add up.
Yeah, so. for sure. And especially when you have big swings, you know, I mean, even what we're facing right now, I mean, with the economy looking, you know, nobody knows what the economy is doing. There's a lot of people, business owners right now, that are kind of pulling their money back, pulling their investments back because they're not sure. It's not that, you know, we don't know it's going to bust. We don't know if it's going to stay kind of stabling how it is, but we do know that the economy always changes. And we've seen what happened in the past with the recessions and the bubble pop. And even in Florida, when I was there in 2008, all the way through almost 2011, it was bad there. And people get unsure, you know? And so these are times when it's good to have that residual income because, you know, if the economy busts and you're in a real estate market and the real estate market crashes, the best thing you can have is five other things that are at least bringing you money while you reestablish yourself in real estate or let it bounce back.
Yep.
You know, the good thing about real estate, it always bounces back. It's just it's going
to
bounce back.
Right. It's here to stay.
Always.
Definitely. Like I always wonder how like all the realtors, and I know that the top performers are always the top performer. The leaderboards are always going to be okay. But I wonder how some of the ones that are kind of fair weather, I always wonder how do they get shaken out? Is that what happens or what? I always wonder about that. Like I said, my concern with anybody who's, if you kind of pigeonhole yourself as a notary into only working those real estate transactions, my goodness, you're probably sweating right now.
Yeah, exactly. You might want to start looking into other things, you know, auto deals and stuff like that. I mean, anywhere where you can do that. I got a friend of mine here in Tulsa. He known him 30 years, good friend of mine from high school from Florida. And he hustles cars, you know, he flips cars. I've never seen a guy flip so many cars. And he's got on speed dial mobile notaries, you know, he buys a car. Sometimes he'll travel, you know, 50 miles to go pick up a car like a Bronco, an antique Bronco or something for a good deal to flip. And then he'll find five other cars on the way back that he buys and leaves them all there with and he's got the titles and then he just needs a notary. So he'll go to a notary and just, he's signing off titles all day long. And you're like, where are these cars at? He's like, I still got to get them home. You know, they're all over the state. But that's what he does, you know? So again, real estate's a great one, but when it's bad, it's bad. You know, when the bubble bursts and people aren't buying or selling, you know, the transactions slow down and there's only, you know, how many notaries are going to get the dollar, you know? And so then you have to focus on maybe there's some auto sales. Maybe I can work.
That's actually, it's funny that you mentioned, it's pretty intuitive. I've actually got a client I got to see next week that
there you go.
Bought a car. Everybody buys cars on the internet now too.
Yeah. Nobody messes around anymore physically. Yeah.
But just because you buy it on the internet doesn't mean the dealer or the bank trusts you. So correct. They are going to send me to come out there and make sure that it's bona fide.
Yeah.
So.
And that's 100%. And I think I have a friend here and I talked to her a little bit. She's a notary and I talked to her a little bit. This was a couple months back. And I was like, she's like, well, I'm kind of slowing down on personal, you know, people calling me for mobile. And I was like, why don't you reach out to like a couple car dealerships? I mean, I know they have in-house attorneys and sales guys and usually a notary that works there, but I was like, it doesn't hurt, man, that some of those notaries in the dealerships get busy, you know? So they have their secretary notary gets busy. You can be in there stamping out five or six sales for them a day even, you know? And she was like, well, I never thought about that. And so I kind of threw that at her. And then I told her, I said, you know, another avenue that you should lean into is, start, don't solicit, but go network yourself to attorneys. You know, how many attorneys do you know that are leaving court and need documents notarized? And they don't have time to run to their office. Their secretary or personal assistant doesn't have time to be with them at that moment. I said, dude, you'd be surprised at the drop of a hat how quickly an attorney will just make a call and say, hey, I've got to get this paper filed. I need it notarized now. And the clerk's not available. The line is out the door. You're there. You know, and I told her that. She was like, man, where have you been? And, you know, and again, I don't know the business. I just know the businesses I've had to deal with had to deal with these things.
You're basically nailing it. And that's where the entrepreneurs can see things through a lens. You're basically nailing it. And it's worth mentioning too, that those attorneys, if you make a connection with them, they will actually refer you to the general public as well. Right. I've got business where they're like, well, this attorney said I should call you.
Yeah.
And it's like, thank you.
And that's it. And I think it's part of networking, marketing, branding yourself. But, you know, she's an older lady, you know, and she's not, you know, she grew up in an age and, you know, she's probably 50, almost 60, you know, she's an older lady. She doesn't know all the internet. She doesn't know all the marketing stuff. She wasn't educated that way. And so she's really just kind of doing her thing as a side hustle and thought that was cool. And I was like, well, here's a way to get more clients. And I kept throwing things at her and she was just, I could see her eyes just lighting up like, oh my gosh, this could be my retirement, you know?
Yep. You can definitely reach out. You can, there is like, Even with the real estate spec, Bill, you know this, builders never stop building.
There's always something, you know, and that's the thing. Real property is always going to provide for build out. It's always going to provide for builders, you know, whether it's commercial, industrial projects. Real estate market can pop like it did in Florida in 08. And I was affected by that. It can pop like that. Everything can come to a standstill. Investors can run. Things can go bankrupt. And guess what? That real property at some point when the market starts picking up, someone's either going to engage in what was being built there, or they're going to buy it, demo it, and put something else there. The real property is never going to stop, and the building is never going to stop. It's just a matter of what ends up getting built there.
Yep. True. This is true.
Yep.
So we do, and then we do remote too. You can do remote notary. Now your friend in her case, so she might not be savvy. So she might not understand how to capitalize on that, but you can offer. So every state is different with their laws, but
yeah,
here in Florida, I can do it for anybody, anywhere else, anywhere.
Okay.
As long as I'm in Florida, because I'm a Florida notary. So if I drive down to Savannah for the weekend, can't help you, but
okay.
As long as I'm in Florida, anybody, anywhere else, I can help them. And so they're in you're using leverage again. You're just leveraging the technology of the internet.
I never even knew you could do that. That's pretty huge.
Yep. So now it's just a matter of you just, you know, be your own advocate. Let people out there know that this service is available and that you offer it. And so we do that. And I teach that too. I teach that in the
course. And again, convenience. How convenient is it that I can, hey, I'm going to call Mark up and get this notarized today. You know, do some electronic document signs, and we're done. You know, I mean, that's huge.
It saves a lot of people money. And so the remote online is slightly more pricey than regular notarization. But if you put it in context, for example, a recent client we had needs a power of attorney done on her father in like Baltimore or something like that. Well, the alternative was flying to Baltimore and getting the notary there to come there and then be there and facilitate it, or me beam everybody in on one thing and then huge cost saving. So when you look at it from there, it's like my fee was nominal. It was
more convenient. That totally makes sense. So let's, we like to talk on the show a little bit. I think you and I discussed this. I'd like to talk a little bit about give me an example in your life, or maybe in your family's life, where you guys have dealt with, and you've touched on a few of the struggles you've had just career wise, but touch on something maybe in your life or a time in your life, whether you were younger, older, marriage, where you've dealt with something that was a serious roadblock in your life and maybe how you coped with that. We talk a lot on this show about mental health. We talk a lot about self-improvement. Part of that, we like to get every guest to give the audience a little interjection into how they have handled some hardships. Everybody's different. Everybody comes from different educational backgrounds. Some people don't have good coping skills. Some people have big tempers. What are some things, or maybe a story or something you remember that you've gone through where you utilize some skills that worked for you, and how do you even now daily get through certain hardships?
Well, those are great questions. The first thing is that you get better over time, right? You learn who you are and how to respond to things, and you become more confident. So it does get easier. But man, I still have stuff that will just throw me for a loop, and it might seem nonsensical, like
in the moment,
right? Yeah. Like a flat tire, like it's easy to fix a flat tire, but it's very frustrating. Like,
okay.
Now that's an oversimplification.
Yeah, we're in 2023. Why have they not made cars with tires that never pop? I mean, come on now.
but you know, we did, I'll give you a couple of examples. Now last year we had two cars fail within the same, like within a month.
It's horrible.
Very frustrating. Yeah. Fortunately, now at this particular time, fortunately, and people can't relate to this, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to fast forward. Fortunately, we were like, no problem, junk them, just go buy another one. Don't
even get another car.
Cut your loss, get cars.
Yep.
And it was no big deal. But that happened again. Again, and you're thinking, what, you guys are just nuts. You're driving your cars in the ground. No, we had a hurricane come.
Yeah.
And that hurricane took out our vehicles.
Did damage, yeah.
And right, so.
It's a Florida thing. People don't always understand that.
Right, I'm like, man, we're just keep sustaining these, like we're getting hammered here. And I won't lie, it was depressing. It was very depressing. Now, I will tell you, I'm a big advocate as a business owner of have backups, have a backup plan. Yep. Have a backup notary, have a backup stamp. I got like three stamps here because if I lose one, I'm out of business.
I'm I call that preventative. So in every industry I've worked in, people ask me like, what do you do? Problem solving or this or that. It's preventative. I believe in preventative versus knee jerk reactive. And so that's what, that's how I look at that. When you get
preemptive strike, right.
Prepare yourself with a backup vehicle, even if it's a Craigslist $200 beater. You have transportation, you know, it's preventative.
Right. And we keep just like that. I have a $1,000 scooter that sits in the garage. It doesn't just get used case. Much.
Yep.
But by golly, when a hurricane takes out two of your cars, you got a scooter and you go, and guess what? It was a little bit of humble pie. Cause it's like, this six figure business owner riding around on a moped
doing all day long. Yeah.
But it wasn't like, it was more or less, it was the time. It's like, you can't just go get a car at the snap of your finger. You shop around for them. You want to make a wise move. So it took us some time. And in that time with two vehicles down, I'm like, well, scooter it is.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I've been there. I bought a scooter. My wife thought I was crazy. She got off work one day. I picked her up. We ate lunch real quick and she already knew I was smoozing her over. And so we go to lunch and she's like, you're up to something. What's going on? And as soon as we leave, like we're sitting there eating and I'm texting this guy about this scooter. And she's like, what are you doing over there? And I'm like, when we leave here, I found a scooter for like $300. And she's like, what do you need a scooter for? You have like three cars, why? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to go get a scooter. We'll have a scooter. And then we did. And we literally threw it in the back of my truck.
Fun. Like,
what do we need a scooter for? You know? And I kept it for a little, put some money into it, fixed it, drove it, sold it.
But side note, they're really inexpensive to fix. Yes, no, they're great. But that same thing, we keep it in the garage. It's inexpensive to fix. Yeah. They're fun.
Yeah.
And it is a backup vehicle. If God forbid two vehicles take a squat again, there's something to bide my time with. But so there would be, so one coping mechanism would be preemptive strike, you know, kind of having a plan. When I talked about the flat tire and I made light of it, it's not a joke. I hate having flat tire. So I keep in our vehicles, I keep the full size, full rim.
I
buy the matching rim, full tire. I do not want a donut on it.
Yep.
I'm throwing another tire on and I'm forgetting it.
I had an experience one time where I changed a flat tire to a donut and the donut went flat, you know, and that's exactly why nowadays I'm the same way. We have a Tahoe, we have a Jeep, all of them have regular size tires. If you get a flat, you have a regular tire. There's no reason to have anything other than.
There's no rush to get into the tire shop. You can just make the appointment and do it at your convenience. And so those are just the preemptive things, looking at things. What are common problems that I might occur, like in my mobile notary, you put miles on a car. So I have a backup car, have tires for that car because those are the most common fail.
I know there's a couple tire shops like Discount Auto and stuff up here. Like you can pay, I forget how much it is, like $100 for a contract with them. And any tire brand, even if you didn't buy it from them, from a different shop on your car, already existing on your car, they warranty it. So they literally will replace any tire on your car. So for people with service that put a lot of miles like you do, like that's a good contract for people.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. It's just like, why not? I mean, anywhere I go, any tires that are on a car, I just go into Discount and they fix it. A buddy of mine who owns a hauling business, he told me that. I go, how do you run? He has like 15 fleets of trucks and trailers and he runs through the dump all the time and every one of them gets flat tires every week, you know? And I'm like, how do you even afford the tires? And he's like, oh, I just do this Discount Auto contract, man. They fix any tire, anything that goes wrong with it. If it's torn sidewall, whatever, they replace it. I was like, dude, that's a deal.
That's a deal. That's good to know. I'm going to be digging into that now.
Oh, you should. It's a deal. I've been telling everybody about it, but I mean, preemptive, like you said, preemptive strike, just kind of think ahead.
Being prepared. Another thing I do, and I actually recommend it in our book because I find it to be very therapeutic. It's probably panacea, but it's worked for me, is just journaling, man. Write stuff down, write down your ideas, your emotions, your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I got a teenage son right now who's, he's really kind of, he's all over the place.
And I have a 14-year-old. I'm right there with you.
And I'm like, it's, guess what? I've got a job for you to do every day. You're going to be writing in this book.
Yeah. We make our son journal every night.
Right. How do you think? How do you feel? What ideas do you have? What do you want to do? What do you not want to do? Who said this? What happened?
Yep.
Just put it down, because it's a very self-therapeutic.
Yes.
And it's free. It's
the best way to unwind and just relieve yourself.
Reflect.
When you don't want to sit and talk and empty yourself to somebody verbally, it's just a great way to put it on paper. It helps just self-regulation, getting those things out. Absolutely. I'm all about journaling. Our son, my wife started him doing that when he was like 6 or 7. And, you know, he'd get frustrated or mad about something. She's like, go write it down. Tell us how pissed you are. You know, are you mad at us? Go ahead and write it down. You know, whatever you write, there's no harm, no foul. Write it down, your thoughts, your ideas, how you feel, the exact words you're thinking, everything. And he's been doing it. And the other day, it was funny because he was mad. He got grounded for something. And sure enough, he hops in his journal and he was gone for like an hour. And we're like, dude, that's the longest he's ever journaled. And he came down, he's like, I've been journaling this whole time. We're like, yeah, right. He's like, no, I have been. And we're like, oh, okay. So he's really hot with us right now. But again, it just helps with his self-regulation, gives him a coping mechanism. You know, yeah. I wish when I was a kid with 11 brothers and sisters, my mom or dad would have said something like that. You know, our coping mechanisms were full on fist fights. You know, that was just how you wanted to get it out. It was like, well, if you're mad at your brother, you go handle it, you know? And so, yeah, it is. That's a great, journalism is a great way to do it.
It is. It's a good way to self-reflect. And it's a good way to not just the writing it, but you can pan back to that. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can pan back to other stuff and go, oh man, I remember I was going through that. Man, that worked out. You know, oh, look at, yeah, that worked out just fine. And you start realizing, well, wait a minute, all these things worked out.
Yeah.
You know?
So tell me real quick before we finish up, give the audience some of the places they can locate. Number one, the Notary Prosperity Academy. Number two, where they can get your book. Go ahead and give us some websites and places where they can reach out to you if they have other questions or if they want to be a client of yours.
Absolutely. So our, first and foremost, our business name is Noble Notary and Legal Document Preparers. So that's our DBA, which is under an LLC. But that business website is legaldocprepnotary.com. Okay. Nice little I'm there. Okay. There's a business tip.
and our audience knows, we always put this in the link with the description. So this will be wherever this video or where this podcast goes, it'll be aired with those links at the bottom.
Awesome. So that is my business that I run. Now, our course and our book is available everywhere books are sold. So
okay. Amazon, Audible,
Amazon, Barnes and Nobles.
Awesome.
It's everywhere. You can get paperback. You can get the audio, you can get the Kindle version. It's everywhere. So it's one of the top sellers in the legal services. So, nice. Which is, you know,
yeah, exactly. You earn it. You know, there's certain things in life, man, you work for, you got to earn it, you know, and it's okay to toot your own horn when you've worked so hard to get to that point, you know?
So there's the book, and you can actually get it on our website. Actually, if you go to legal.prep,
you can order a copy.
You could order it right off my website.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But you can go to Amazon or anywhere else and you could type it in and
awesome.
It all kicks back to me eventually. It's just how much other hands in the jar take.
Yeah, of course. Why not? You got to help somebody, right?
Right. So now our course, Notary Prosperity Academy, you could literally Google those words and it would show up. It is a course that's hosted through Kajabi. You're probably familiar with it.
Yep.
It's an awesome platform. So mm-hmm. when I say course, you probably, some people, they need to decipher between low rent stuff and higher.
Does the course run like as modules? Like there's individual modules is how it
works. Modules.
That's how I'm familiar with it.
Right. Videos, didactics, downloadable files, the whole bit. Probably 70 files, probably 4 hours of video content. So
tons of information.
Tons of stuff. This isn't like, give me some money and I'm going to slip you a PDF file. There's nothing like that. We've been there. You know, we've all done that where I'm like, oh, I want to get this. And it was just, you know.
You order and you get a pamphlet in the mail with some guy's business card. And you're like, dude, really? That was 20 bucks.
Back in the day, man, I used to read Ninja magazines. And they'd always have the little cutout, the mail in my favorite ninja tricks. Well, I want to know. And it's
you
know, I mail my 10 bucks and I get a pamphlet of garbage.
Plastic throwing star and you're good.
So nothing like that. This is the Cadillac of it. It's you're going to get awesome. Legitimate information, probably mind-blowing for some people.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but that, again, the link to Notary Prosperity is also on our main site. Okay. And the link to it, I'll give it to you. It's actually Micah. It's Mark Sias. Micah Javi. So that's, I actually had trouble when I bought the name Notary Prosperity Academy, and I keep having trouble with Cloudflare syncing it to that.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like, you know what? You've already got Mark Sias, Micah Javi everywhere on the internet.
Yep. Use that. Yeah. Exactly. One thing I don't think we touched on, and maybe I don't know if there's a link or if it just ties in, is Lady Bird Deed Prep.
Yes. So ladybirdd.net is one of our websites. I am surprised that name was available.
I looked and I was like, well, that's pretty interesting.
So the Lady Bird Deeds is, again, how I said, we listen to our audience, and this is how you run a business. Get feedback from your customers, see what they need, what they want. And, yeah, there's about 5 states in the country that have a ladybird deed clause. Okay. And Florida's one of them. So ladybird deed is a way for people to just seamlessly transfer their property to somebody else, completely avoiding the probate system. If you've ever been through it, you know it's a nightmare.
Right.
It's just money, 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 money.
Oh, yeah, all the way down the line until you get nothing. Yeah.
Right. So ladybird deed is like a less than $200 solves that problem.
That's
deal.
Cool.
And a lot of attorneys offer it. Florida's a non-attorney state, so you can prepare that document for people. Now, that, interestingly enough, I use Kajabi for that too, because I allow people with Lady Bird, I allow them the choice to do it themselves.
Yep.
So they can get the templates and just do it themselves, because some people are like us. They're just like, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
And then other people, then I allow them the choice if they go through that purchase or that sales funnel, I guess they call it. They have the ability to go, well, no, I want you to, I'm going to give you
to my help walk them through it.
Yep. So they can do either or off of that site. And
very cool.
So that's just another site that we built. Obviously on our main business, we offer those to people, and it's something that we cross sell very easily just by listening to people. You start talking to people. We were just at the hospital the other night with a couple that had, her father was in the hospital. He's declining.
Yeah.
And so they had a power of attorney paper, and they said, do you think there's anything else we need? I said, well, have you heard of a Lady Bird deed? And it was like light bulb went on. Yeah. And they're like, sign this up, come back tomorrow. So there was an easy cross sell upsell that I could have just looked at it as one transaction, but I took the time to kind of just see what else
potentially could have just been a headache for their family to have to deal with. You know, when you're busy with dealing with something like that, a declining relative or family member, you know, the last thing you want to deal with is a bunch of paperwork and a bunch of people just coming at you legally. You know, so something like that is a great service to offer.
Yeah. They're just basically, they're simple legal solutions
for
people, for everyday people. So
I love it. How's the weather there in Florida today?
It's nice. We had a little bit of a cold snap for 2 days, and now it looks like it's bounced back into, you know, it's about the mid 60s, I think.
Nice.
I like it hot.
I do too. I'm the same way. I've been out here in Tulsa since 2013. It gets cold. I hate it. So my wife knows. Anything below 60, I'm a Florida boy. You know, anything below 60, I'm freezing. So. Well, it's been great having you on here, Mark. We always tell every guest, you know, in the future, we like to get guests back on for a second round. So, you know,
definitely.
We like to touch base with guests and just have them come back on, see how things are going. If things in their life change, maybe there's some new avenues that your business has taken. So in the future, I definitely am going to invite you back on.
I'd like that
on here for sure.
Definitely.
Maybe the next time we can have even your wife on as well. Maybe both of you.
That would be great. Sometimes she gets a little bit of that, feels left out. But I always talk about you. I always tell them you're my partner. But
For sure. Like maybe next time we can do that even. That'd be a great interview. And you know, kind of get her take and her perspective on how things are going with that. And but it's been great having you on here. I will definitely be in touch with you about getting a second interview for sure.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yep. For sure.